Let's start again with the Mishnah at the beginning of chapter 9, Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Nishames, if a person dies, the Niach Banim Ubanos, and he leaves over sons and daughters. Sons are supposed to inherit. Daughters, one of the conditions of the Ksuba that the sages legislated is that daughters should be supported until they get married or until they reach the age of 12. So bizmach and chasim erubin, if there's a lot of money, a lot of assets, habanim yirshu, the sons will inherit, v'habanos yizonu, the daughters are to be supported. Chasim uatin, if there are very few assets, habanos yizonu, the daughters should be supported, habanim yishalu ala psachim, and the sons should go out and beg, let them go beg. Admon Omer, Admon says, Bishvil Shani Zachar, because I'm a male, if Sadati, I lose out. How could that be? In terms of inheritance, as the Gemara will explain, males have much greater strength than daughters. So now you're going to say that if there's a little bit of funds, so now the males get nothing, and the daughters get everything. Amar Rabban Gamliel said, Rohani Estivri Admon, I also agree with the view of Admon.
So Rabbi, the widows, they have to live from the kesuba. They don't have this.
There's a takana also that the widow gets supported.
Yeah. On top of kesuba?
Yes.
They don't,
so she gets married.
But she gets remarried.
That's right. Says the Gemara. V'kama merubin. So what's the definition of a lot of money? That we say that when there's a lot of money, the daughters get supported and the sons inherit. I'm going to review Rav. If you just said the name of Rav. If there's enough money to support the sons and the daughters each for 12 months. When I said this in front of Shmuel, Amar, he said, Zu divri Rabban Gamliel bar Rebbe. This is the view of Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rebbe. But the Chachamim have a different explanation of what is a lot. Enough property for the sons and the daughters to be supported until the daughters mature. So it's more than 12 months. We also learned, when Ravan came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, for Amila, others say, Kol Shizonu Mehen, Elu ve'elu achi bagru hey merubin. If there's enough assets to support the sons and the daughters until the daughters mature, that's what we call a lot of assets. The Chachamim say when there's a lot of assets, the daughters get supported and the sons inherit. Pachos mikan, but if there isn't enough to support everyone until the daughters mature, areilu mu'atin, so then it's considered few assets. And so the Mishnah said, if there are few assets, the daughters get supported and let the sons beg. So the Gemara says, what does that mean, let the sons beg? If we don't have enough assets for everyone until the daughters mature, achi bagu. So then, shakti luhu banos lukulu, I understand. Are the girls going to take everything and the boys get nothing? The boys are going to have to go just beg, they're not going to get anything from their father. Ella Amar Ravas like this. If we don't have a lot of assets, if the husband doesn't have a lot of assets, so then Motzian Lehen Mizanos Labanos Achi Bagru, we take out of the assets to provide for the daughters until they mature.
Could be more than a year.
Yeah, that's right. Till they mature. Bashar, now after that amount, Labanim, after that amount, that goes to the sons. And if the sons consume that amount, then the sons have to go beg.
But there could be a case where there's not enough.
What do you mean by there's not enough?
There could be a case where the estate only covers the cost of supporting the daughters.
Then the sons would have nothing.
No, that's right.
That's
but
right.
I'm sorry, just if he said that they both can have just money for a year, why there will be no need to say merubim, because if they're going to divide it between them because of merubim, still they have to give the half to the banot, the both of them going to finish the end of the year. So how this could be Merubim? Merubim has to be more than the year.
Maybe not. Maybe the daughters can get married within the year.
Abenatar, you know. Let us answer properly. What can I do?
When you said beg, you mean go to work. That's what you mean.
Or to beg.
You're not begging.
Or to, if they can't get a job, and to actually go door to door to be panhandlers. To ask for support.
So he has to do anything, you know.
Rabbi, if the field, before we learned that there was a sort of minimum size of a field, if the field does not reach that minimum size, would you split up the field between the sons? If each one of the fields if the field split up into portions isn't big enough to consider?
No. So now the Gemara says, Pshit, that's pretty clear. Merubin vinismat. Let's say when the man died, there were many assets. Okay? Mm-hmm. Enough to provide for everyone till the daughters would mature and more. Okay? But then they became less. The prices of his stocks went down, or whatever. So then we say, listen, Farzachu behen Yorshin, we're not going to say, okay, the sons now are not going to get anything, and the money will be taken from them and given to the daughters. At the moment of death, that's when there's the Yerusha. At that point, the sons inherited, and money was, other parts of the assets were put aside for the daughter's support until they reach the age of 12. So the share that the sons inherited, they inherited. So now that share went down in value, but they still own it. We're not going to take it away from them. What happens if it's the other way? Muat, when the father died, there was not enough assets. There was only enough, as Gabriel pointed out, to support the daughters till they reached the age of 12. That's how much it was worth, those assets. But Vinisrabu, but the assets became bigger. Maybe they went up in value. So now, Mai, what's the law? What's the halacha? So the Gemara explains, do we say, Birshus Yarshin Kaimu, Hilkach Birshus Yarshin Shovach, Odilma Saluke Misalki Yarshin Mehacha? How do we understand this halacha, that there is a portion of the assets going for the daughters? Is it that basically these assets really belong to the sons? The sons inherited. But the sons' assets have to go to provide for their sisters. Or do we say no? When the sages instituted the takana, that a portion of the assets should go to support the daughters till they mature, what that means is that they're cutting out the sons. They're taking out the sons. They're removing them. And now it's only going to the daughter. So it was the daughter's assets that appreciated, not the son's assets that appreciated. Says the Gemara, Tashma, come in your proof. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Yisomim shekadmu machru benachasim mu'atim. If the orphans went and sold, the sons that is, sold, this limited property that father left over, Mashem Machru, Machru. The sale worked. So you see, it's not the daughter's asset. It's the son's asset that has to be distributed to his sister. So therefore, if it would go up in value, so now the son can take some of it.
So, Rabbi, why? Fine, so Mashem Machru, Machru. They sold it, fine. But why can't the Beit Din take the money and then use the money and have that for the daughter? So it doesn't make a difference that the land was sold. The money is still there. So take the money and get. No, there's no proof. What's the proof?
So look at the Rashbam. Yisom Shekadmu says the Rashbam Kodem Shemidu Banos Bedin, before the daughters were able to get into the court, the sons went to Machru and they sold. Even if what they were selling were the limited assets, Masha Machru Machru, their sale worked. We don't take away from, let's say, someone who bought from the father a field. We wouldn't take away the field to provide food for the wife or for the daughters. So v'kolshkem minachasim merubim kedaminim b'ksubis. And certainly when you deal with assets, as the Gemara says in ksubis, ha'achim sheshibdu motzien leparnasa vein motzien lemezonos. Since if they were to sell, the sale would have been work. So that shows that they really own the assets. Therefore, in Nisrabu, if it goes up, they get a share now. And their share stands. In other words, the question was, this is a halacha, that if they're limited assets, it's the daughters who get it, not the sons. What does it mean that the daughters get? Is that the sons really own it, because they inherit it, but they have to give it to the daughters? We say, no, the sages took away the Torah law that the son is inheriting, and say, no, the money goes to the daughters. But we see that if the sons jump ahead and they sell, the sale works, so that shows the sons are the ones who inherit, but they give to the daughters. And that's why if they sell, it was their thing that they sold. And therefore,
the point here that they were able to sell it, they still have to give to the daughters.
They don't have to give. They don't have. The sons don't have to give anymore.
Because they sold before the decision to give the benefit to the daughters.
The daughters will have nothing because the assets were sold off. It was the father's assets.
From that cash, they don't have to feed it to the daughters.
That's how they spent the cash.
Yeah, but if the sons, they don't have to. If the sons sold the property, okay, and then let's say it wasn't daughters, but it was the widow. The widow would be entitled to go out to get the property back and to take the property because she has her ketubah. And her ketubah right would take priority.
For her ketubah, but not for her food. For her ketubah, but not for her food.
So why make a difference, distinction between the ketubah and between
one
the
is the main takana, one is the second.
So, Rabbi, are we saying that every time this happens, the Bedin has to legislate that the daughters should be getting food off the assets?
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like. And that event happens, the sons, because they are the heirs, own the property. And hence,
well, the sons, even after the Besdin will legislate, the sons will own the property.
I understand, but they would have an obligation to use the fruit of the land to feed the daughter.
For sure.
But until that event happens from the Besdin, basically they have no restrictions on the sale. That's why the sale is effective.
Right, the sale will be effective.
When you say daughters, that means the son's sisters, Rabbi?
No, the father's.
No, the father's.
Yeah,
the son's sisters, yeah.
With the same thing, right? And the same thing. Okay.
That's right.
Well, we have sisters too, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that was that issue. New issue. Yasiv Rabbi Yirmiya kamed Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Yirmiya sat in front of Rabbi Avo. V'kabo minei, he asked Rabbi Avo the following question. So we say that if the father dies, leaving over lots of assets, the daughters get supported, the sons inherit. If the father dies, leaving over minimal assets, then the daughters don't get supported. I'm sorry, the daughters get supported, the sons don't inherit. So then we have the definition. What are minimal assets? Either it's enough to provide for everybody for a year. We don't accept that it's enough to provide for everyone until the daughter is mature. What about the following? Almanaso maush etemayit benachasim. Does the cost of supporting the widow reduce the amount of assets so that we say the assets now are minimal and the sons will not inherit and will all go to the daughters? So miyamina, do we say, even to Islamizona, since the sages legislated that the widow is to be provided for with food until she remarries, so the mata, so she reduces the size of the assets of the estate. Or maybe Kivan de Iluminsiba Lesla, maybe we should say that since if she would marry, she doesn't get any more. So the fact that she's now going to get is not really so significant. Maybe she'll get married tomorrow. So hashtanami lesla. So we shouldn't say that the amounts owed to her reduce the fact that that she has a claim should reduce the asset total, because we'll say she might be getting married. So the Gemara now says, im tim tzolomar kivan dilu minzaba lesla. If you're going to tell me that since if she marries, she's not going to get anything, therefore, hashtanami lesla, so it's not considered now that she's reducing the size of the estate to make it who ought them to make it minimal. Bas ishto, what about if a man dies and there is a daughter to his wife that he had promised to support? Mahu shetemai b'nechasim. Is that going to reduce the assets? Do we say miyaminik even the chimin sabadam yislei umamata? Since even if she would marry, since he had promised to support her for 5 years, she's still going to be getting from the assets. So therefore, that reduces the amount of assets that are here. Odomar maybe kiven di lumesa lesla. If she dies, we know she's not entitled to any further claim. Kulomimata. So therefore, that should not reduce the total amounts of the assets.
Who is she? The wife?
The daughter of the wife.
If the daughter of the wife dies.
Right. Yeah. He promised to give to this woman when he was marrying her. He said, I'll provide for your daughter for 5 years.
Right.
So he has to give to that daughter even if she marries. But if she dies, he doesn't have to give to her.
Correct.
So maybe that's not considered a real claim that's reducing the size of the assets.
Sorry. And the legal obligation of the wife is her ketubah. That's it, right, Rabbi?
Well, then she doesn't have to give to her, obviously.
Everything else is matana for her.
No, part of the ksuba is to provide her with food until she marries.
But she gets fully paid for her ketubah number, whatever number is there.
Yeah.
And then whatever she gets as far as substance, you know, to eat, is a matana.
Addition, I would call it Tosefes ksuba, in addition to the ksuba. It's an added obligation.
Added obligation.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Exactly. Now, says the Gemara, Vimtim Salomar, now if you're going to say that when the father had married a woman, he promised to give to her daughter for 5 years, so that's a promise, but Kivan di Ilumesa, since if that daughter dies, Leslai doesn't have to keep giving to her, so therefore, Vilomimata, so that doesn't reduce the inheritance, the estate that he's leaving over. So Baal Chov, Ma'u Shayimayit Binachasim. What about if he owes money to somebody? So is that going to reduce the size of the estate? Mi Amina, do we say Kivan Dechimayis Nami Yislemimayit? The guy who he owes money to, even if that man would die, that man's children will inherit that debt, and they could collect. So since even if he dies, he will be collecting, there is a reduction. Or do more maybe. Given the Machasri Guvaina, since it's missing collection. So Lomamite. So it doesn't, right? Since right now the lender hasn't collected it, it's true the debt is there, but we'll still say that we look at this property. This property is enough to provide. So this property is considered a lot, and the sons get a share. So that's one way of explaining these three questions. First, the question was about the debt to support wife. Is that going to reduce the assets? The debt to support daughter of wife, will that reduce the assets? And if you say both of those cases don't reduce the assets, what about a debt to a bank, a debt to a lender? That's something that really can't disappear. So maybe that does reduce the assets. Or maybe we say, no, since it's a lien, but the assets are still in the hands of the estate. So the estate is considered a wealthy estate. Yes, there are liabilities to the estate. There are debts. But overall, the estate is a wealthy estate. Yeah. Okay. The Ika de Ba'ula Le'idach Kisa. But there are others who ask these three questions going in the other direction. In other words, starting first from the bank. Baal Chov, a man died, he left a lot of assets, but he owes money to someone. So now Shemai ben Achasim. Do we say that the fact that he owes money to that person reduces the assets that he left over? And he didn't leave over a lot. We say he left over little. Bas ishto, a man who died, and he left over a lot of assets, but included in that was the fact that there was a daughter to his wife, and he had promised to provide for her for 5 years. So you might say like this, a Baal Chov, a lender, he reduces the size of the estate because he's going to collect no matter what. So if you assume that he does reduce the size of the estate, what about a daughter? She's also going to collect no matter what, even if she's going to collect no matter what, even if she gets married. On the other hand, if she dies, she's not going to collect. Maybe that doesn't reduce the size of the estate. So if you say that the daughter still reduces the size of the estate, so what about almana? What about a widow? She's going to collect, but she, if she gets married, she's not going to collect. So maybe she doesn't reduce the size of the estate. Is the fact that money owed to her reckoned and calculated to reduce the size of the estate? Yeah, question.
Rabbi, this daughter, is the biological daughter of the father? Or is stepdaughter?
Stepdaughter. It's bringing us back to Masechet Ksubo. Sometimes a man wants to marry a woman. She says, listen, I have a problem. I have a daughter. So he says, listen, don't worry. I'll support her for 5 years. Almanaso Ubas. Let's say he has a widow and he has a daughter. Eze mehen kodemes. So let's say there's a very limited assets. And there is the rights of the widow to be provided for food. And as we've been learning in our Mishnah, the right of daughters to be provided with for food. So who comes first? Who will get the assets? So these were all questions that Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Avo. So Amar Leh, so Rabbi Avo said, Zila Idna, go home today, v'salamachar, come back tomorrow. Kiyasa, when he came back the next day, Amalei said like this, Pshot mi achada. I can resolve one of your questions. So Amar Rabba Abam Ravasi, Rabba Abba said in the name of Ravasi, Asu Alman Eitzalabas. When you have a situation of a widow and a daughter, that's Kibas Eitzala Achin. That's like a daughter with brothers, Benachasim Uatim, with limited property. And therefore, the daughter is provided for and not the widow. Ma bas etzel achim. Just like when you have a daughter with brothers and limited property, habas nizon. As we say, we give it all to the daughter. Va'achim yishalu ala psachim. The sons have more chutzpah. Let them go panhandle. Let them beg. Let them collect tzedakah. So too, afal mana etzel abas. So too, when you have a widow and a daughter, almana nizones. I'm sorry, the opposite of what I said. The widow is the one who's provided for. Abbas tishal apsachim. Let the daughter go beg.
Rabbi, the notes here explain that the reason for this is because a person would presumably be more concerned about preventing his wife's humiliation and his daughter's humiliation. But you would think the counter, which is that the wife is more easily sustainable because she can go and get remarried. But the daughters, actually, it's more difficult for them to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. Plus, they have to come up with a way to get married and to have someone, find someone to support them. So I would think that we would want to support the daughters since they're in a more vulnerable state than the husband.
Well, that's why in the old days, you know, anybody knock on the door, they blind, one leg, you know, they would marry the daughter to get rid of her. Boom, bow. They just want to get rid of her. That's a disgusting thing. Believe me, I know many cases of it.
Well, that's what we said. Girls just want to get married.
Anybody knock on the door, married. 30 years of difference in age. Yeah, take it, go.
No real estate anymore. Let's go.
In which country is that?
To get just rid of
In which country?
in your country too. Trust me. Believe me.
Trust you about
all right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
It's not the heaviest because the God from the end.
What's happening? Happening.
God from the end, when he told her that she's going to be in his own head, she is even before the ocean, in my opinion. I'm just asking.
That's correct. But that we saw. That we saw. No, that if he had promised to give to a woman when he was marrying her, I'm going to give your daughter for 5 years, so that comes before his inheritance to his sons. That's an obligation. Yeah. So now, again, the Mishnah, so just to review this last point, the question was, if they're limited assets and there's both a widow and a daughter who need to be supported, so which one comes first? So we're saying the same way that when there's a daughter and a son and there's limited assets, the daughter comes first. If there's a widow and a daughter, the widow comes first and the daughter should go collect. So Admon said that he didn't agree. Admon says, "B'shvil shani zachar ifsadati, because I'm a male, I lose out. And my sister, if they're limited assets, she's going to get all of those assets for support, and I'm going to have to go beg for charity." So the Gemara asks, "Maika Amar, what is Admon saying?" Amar Abaye answered, "Achi Kam, this is what Admon is saying. Bishvil shani zachar, because I'm a male, v'roi ani lasok b'Torah, and I'm therefore fit to be busy learning Torah. If sadity, am I going to lose money?" In other words, daughters don't have an obligation to study Torah, sons do. So if he's studying Torah, all the more reason why he needs support. Amale Rava, so Rava said, that's what Admon was saying? Elameata mandasak patorah hu diyaris? Are you going to say that only the sons who learn Torah inherit? Lo asak patorah lo yaris? A son who doesn't learn Torah doesn't inherit? We're talking about inheritance here. Elamai Rava, so therefore Rava said like this, Achikam, this is what Admon is saying. Bishvil shani zachar, doesn't make sense to Admon. After all, I'm a male. V'roi ani lirash b'nachas merubin. And therefore, if there's a lot of money, I'm the one who inherits it all. My sisters, if they're adults, get nothing. And if there's a lot of money, so my sisters who are younger will be supported till they grow up, but I get inheritance. So now if there's limited amounts, if sadati bin achasim uatim, I'm going to end up with absolutely nothing. How could it be? So that's why Admon doesn't agree with the law of the Mishnah.
So, Robert, that logic is like, you know, when you have a company which has debt, but before the senior lender gets paid, the company has to pay, let's say, the employees. Isn't that something similar, where the daughters are kind of, you know, employed by the estate? It's not a question of seniority of claim.
That's true.
So Rabbi, so if there's a great Torah scholar, he doesn't trump the daughter in a case where the estate is small.
That's right. No, he wouldn't trump it.
Now, is there a formula of what it means to, you know, support your sisters based on your income, wealth? Or is it just, you know, bread on the table? Everyone's eating, you know, steaks.
I don't remember, but I think we learned it in Ksubas, wasn't it? Like food and clothing.
It could be minimal. It doesn't have to be whatever the brothers are living, their income level. Based on
I think it's enough to enable them to get married. I think that was the basic point.
Rabbi Zerubbabel never answered 3 out of the 4 questions.
Right.
Of
that's right. He didn't answer 3 out of the 4.
Okay.
That's right. Next Mishnah. Hiniach banim ubanos v'tumtum. A man died and he left over sons, daughters, and a tumtum, a person whose genitalia are covered, so we don't know if he's male or female. It's matched on a chasim rubim, so when the tumtum would like to collect, if there are a lot of assets, as charim dochen also eats on the kevos, the sons say, listen, you're not a son, you can't prove that you're a son. You go to the girls and you get supported till you, whatever, become 12. But if there are very few assets, and the sons are now not getting, so the girls can say, you can't prove that you are a girl. Maybe you're a boy. So the boys in this case are not getting, because we have to get first. So you're getting nothing. Yeah.
So who's going to be begging now in this family? Like
the tumtum will be begging.
Rabbi, was the tumtum, did they publicly announce that they're tumtum? How would they know?
I guess they knew. They saw the boy growing up.
I
think the body may have been different.
Sorry?
The body may have been different.
Yeah.
No, so is that so or not?
You saw it.
The voice, all sorts of things.
No, a 10-year-old, how would one know?
Goes to the mikvah, goes to the bathhouse, people know.
They used to go to public bath those days.
Okay. Yeah,
especially in Persia.
Everybody was in your country. And the had something around his waist, so they know something wrong.
Next case about a tumtum. Ha'omer, if a person says, my wife is pregnant. If she gives birth to a boy, yitol mana. He should get 100 sus. So then yolda zachar, if she gave birth to a boy, yitol mana. He should get 100 sus. If the father says, if my wife will give birth to a girl, nekeva masayim, she should get 200 sus. Yolda nekeva, if she gives birth to a girl, notelas masayim. So the girl gets 200 sus. If the father says, Im Zachar Mane, Im Nekeva Masayim, if it's a boy, 100, if it's a girl, 200, V'yalda Zachar Unekeva, and she gives birth to, let's say, one way to read it is, she gave birth either to a boy or a girl, that's the Rashbam, but the Rash says she gave birth to both, a boy and a girl. So im nekeva masayim, if it'll be a girl, the girl will get 200. Im zachar, so zachar notel mana nekeva notelas masayim. The boy gets 100, the girl gets 200. Yalta tumtum, but if she gave birth to a tumtum, eno notel, the tumtum doesn't get. The tumtum doesn't get.
This is just a gift in advance. This is not a Yerusha or anything, right?
Either one. It could be Yerusha too. Could say, my wife's pregnant. A man's dying. He says, my wife's pregnant. If she gives birth to a boy, the boy should get 100. If she gives birth to a girl, the girl should get 200. And in fact, what came out was a tumtum. So we're saying that the tumtum is nothing. We don't know. So the tumtum doesn't get. Well, tumtum can't be both. He doesn't have the signs of both. We're saying he's some... androgynous might be both. So what we're saying here is that a tumtum is some new creature. We just don't know how to classify this creature as a male or as a female. It could be also it's some third creature. It's a neuter. Im amar kol ma shetelid ishti yitol. If he says whatever my wife gives birth to should take this amount, 100 or 200, then areza yitol. Then even the tumtum can take. Im ein shem yoresh elohu. Now let's say the only child is this tumtum. And Yorish is Hakol, then the Tum inherits everything because Mamanavshach. Something. So
Rabbi,
she inherit everything.
Two quick questions. First, please. Why does the Mishnah give a distinction between the amount of money? Why does the Mishnah set up a case where it's 100 versus 200? What's the importance of the Mishnah telling us that there's a difference in the amount of money? And the second question is, we know that from other Mishnayos that the sex of a tumtum can often be determined at a later point in time, the membrane or whatever. It's
right.
So if the sex is determined at that later point, would the tumtum then get that money at that later point when it's determined, or if it's just at birth, the tumtum is born?
I think he would in this case. I think he would get it if it's determined later.
There is no money. What about the first question, which is why does the Mishnah set up this case? The only reason why I can think of why the Mishnah set up this case is because it wants to tell us that if there's a tumtum, it's a suffix, and because there's a suffix, you would split the difference. Tumtum would get 150, but they don't say that. So why does the Mishnah?
Maybe that's the point to teach us that that's not the right. You would have thought that because it's a suffix, you split it. So to tell you that no, that here he can't get it, he can't collect. So again, the Mishnah said, yeah, what was that?
But we learn if the firstborn is a tumtum, he's not going to get a double portion when it comes to inheritance.
That's true.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
But tumtum, is it not that we don't really know what the gender is?
We don't know.
Or at some point, to your maybe point, we're going to know.
We don't know. We could find out if we do a surgery. If we remove the membrane, we could find out. So again, the Mishnah says that if he leaves over sons and daughters and a tumtum, so if there's limited assets, so they can each one can push. Dochen oso. So the Gemara asks, the son, let's say there's a lot of assets. The sons can say he gets like a daughter. Dochen oso v'shakel kabas, he now gets like a daughter. But katani safe, but it said at the end, yolda tumtum, if a man had promised money, one amount to a son, a different amount to a daughter, if what came was a tumtum, eno nota, the tumtum doesn't get anything. Amar Abaye answered, Dochen oso, they push him away from the sons, the Einlo, and in fact, he doesn't get anything. Because when he tries to come to collect as a daughter, the daughters also push him away. And they say, you're not a daughter. Yeah. And since we don't know what he is, he may be option number three, some own gender. And therefore, he doesn't collect it all. That's Abaye's view. However, Rava Amar Rava said, Dochen oso, we push him away. V'yeshlo, and he gets like a daughter. However, v'seifa, in the end, where we said that if a man promised money to sons and a different amount to daughters, if he has a tumtum, the tumtum gets nothing. That's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. That's the view of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds that a tumtum is a third gender. D'tanya. As we learned in a braisa, yolda tumtum v'androgynous. If a woman gave birth to a tumtum or an androgynous, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, ein kedusha chala aleihem. Holiness wouldn't take effect upon them. So even though normally we have a law, that if a person consecrates an animal, so let's say a guy doesn't want his firstborn cow to have the kedusha of Bechor. So he says that when the cow is pregnant, that the fetus is an ola. So now, if the fetus will give birth, once the fetus will come out, it's already an ola, and then it can't be have the holiness of Bechor, because it already was an ola. So this Mishnah says here in Bechoros that if the child that comes, the Brisa says, if the child that comes out is a tumtum or an androgynous, Reb Shimon Gamliel says there's no kedusha on it, because apparently an animal, yeah. Yeah. So therefore, an ola has to be on a male. So this is not even a suffix ola. This is nothing, because it's not a male, nor is it a female. We just don't know. It's this third category. So Mesfe, they challenged Ambaya from the following Bryce. We learn tumtum yoresh keben. A tumtum inherits like a son. Or Nizon Kibas, sometimes he's supported like a daughter. So now, Bishmal Rava, according to Rava, so if we don't know what a tumtum is, he's a safek. Yorish Kiban, he'll inherit like a son if there's Nechasim Uatim, if the father's leaving over minimal property. Nizon Kibas, he'll be supported like a daughter. Benechasim Erubin, if the father left over a lot of property, because he doesn't get like the sons, he'll get like the daughters. El Abaye, but according to Abaye, my nizon kibas, what does it mean that he gets provided for like a daughter? V'letameich, one second, even according to your logic, l'rava mayorish keben, what does it mean he inherits like a son? We don't know who he is. So Ella Roy Lirosh, he should be inheriting, but Ainlo, he doesn't actually get. Hachanami Roy Lazan, I will tell you, he should be getting support. In other words, because when he goes to the boys, they say, no, you have to go to the daughters. But in actuality, Ainlo, he doesn't get, because the daughters say, you can't prove that you're a daughter, and therefore you're not entitled to anything.
It's very liberal. He doesn't get support from daughters, and if there's a lot, he doesn't get support from the boys.
He's in bad shape.